send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there, and tell them, the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into the streets and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice in the spirits submit. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This ends the reading.
All right, I'd like the children to come down. And for those who are coming down, if you could sit on the chairs, that would be great. I need the youth to come down as well. And then I need four volunteers. So Amber, Christian, Carly, and Josh, if you guys could come down here, that'd be awesome. Ready over here. This is for you. All right, so you're going to be over here. All right, so Carly, Josh, Christian, and Amber.
Okay, so what's going to happen is you guys are going to be the world, okay? So.
All right, so just to give you a background of what's going to be happening right now, this is the football game of life right now, and we have two teams on it. We have the team of darkness, or the world, and this is the team of light, or the Christians that are in it. So what's going to happen is we're going to explain a few things. Kids, I want you guys paying attention because I'm going to be asking you some questions after we're done with this. All right? So you guys know what you're doing? Got your props? Everything good to go? All right. Oh, come on, ref. Billy Graham is like 95 years old. You got to give him a break out there. Let's go. Oh, okay. Autumn, Noah, we want to get over here. Okay. All right, guys, here's what's going to happen. I need you guys to go out into the world and shine your lights, okay? You guys have been with me for around 6 months now. We're good to go. We had the lock-in. We've been doing Sunday school. You guys are awesome. You're good to go, right? Okay, awesome. Now, here's the thing, though. The world is a scary place, okay? And they make noises. They make noises, and they show off their muscles, and it's scary, okay? So you got to be prepared for that. All right. You guys ready? Go. Okay, all right. Next three. Alyssa, Lucas, Seth, I need you guys real quick. Guys, I need you. Okay. Okay, so guys, I need you guys to go out onto the field of light, okay? You've been taught the harvest is plentiful. It's just like in the Bible verses that we just read, okay? And you guys, there's going to be a lot of distraction out there, okay? You're going to be like, there's going to be things that are going to drag you one way and then the other way and all this other stuff, okay? So I need you guys to go out there and make a difference in the world. Can you do that for me?
Who's going to give us the warning that they're going to come up? All right.
I just gave you the warning. All right.
I got the Bible. I took
Awesome. Go use it in the world. Go, go. You guys are good to go. Go, go, go. Well, you guys, they're about to hike the ball. But they're ready to go. They just hiked the ball. They're going for the touchdown. Guys, you get. Oh my goodness. All right. Christy, come here. All right. Christy, I got some questions for you. Do you believe in Jesus?
Yes.
Do you believe that he's going to be with you no matter what happens?
Yes.
Okay, what I need you to do is go grab that football and go score a touchdown, okay? Go run to your parents, all right? Go run that way. Touchdown! All right, thank you guys. You can go have a seat, and my youth can come back into the room. Maybe. They're probably gone. They're probably like, yes, we're out of here. All right, so kids, got a few questions for you. Number one, who are the two teams? Light and darkness, correct, okay? Now, did the youth from the light, when they went into the world or the darkness to play the football game, did they stay and play football or did they run away?
They ran away.
Ran away, okay. And then when the second group came up here, what were they doing with like their cell phones and stuff? Taking pictures, hashtagging, all that fun stuff. Yeah, they weren't paying attention to what was going on, and the darkness ran the ball, and they almost scored a touchdown. But what happened when I asked Christy to go out there? She got the football. And did you hear what I asked her? What did I ask her at the very beginning? Do you believe in Jesus? And what was the other one? Do you guys remember? Yes. No, close. Yes. Yes, exactly. And you know what Christy did? She went out there and she didn't show any fear, all right? She went into the world where there's darkness and big, scary college-age people, and she showed them who was boss, right? Okay, she took that football right away from Christian, and she ran for a touchdown, okay? And that, what?
The six-year-old.
Yeah, pretty much. And the six-year-olds won, and that was the cool part, all right? And that's what I'm going to try to explain to all the big people out there, is that we as Christians are going to be asked to go out into a dark world where there's a lot of scary things going on. And so hopefully, if they don't get it by the end of the sermon, I hope you guys can go and tell them that. All right? Make sense? All right. You guys want your treat? I actually remembered this week. So you guys should like me a lot. Right? Right? Right. Hey, there we go. All right. You guys can come and get it. They're all the same, so you can just grab one.
It's chocolate. Please make it be chocolate.
It is.
Chocolate, sweet.
You're welcome.
You pick one? You pick one?
There you go. All right, and, would Christian or Josh or Carly or Amber like a granola bar, chocolate chip? If not, come see me afterwards and I'll open up the office. You guys can have whatever you want. So just don't tell Pastor Bruce. So as I was getting ready for the sermon today, I was trying to decide whether if I wanted to be a real gospel-oriented sermon or a law-oriented. And then I talked to Pastor Bruce, and he was like, why don't you make it both? And I was like, sweet, we're going to go with that. So really, the whole idea that I want to get across today is that we as a church are called to go out into the world. And the world is a dark and scary place. With the sermon that I'm about to share with you, I have three points I really want to get across, and two of them can actually be found in the bulletin. The first point is turning the disillusioned into passionate builders, which has been our motto that has been come up through the Exonal group. I want to go into a little bit of that with how Jesus did that with the people that were following him at the time. Then I want to talk about our name. Many of you know this church as Lamb of God Lutheran Church. But as I was going through the Constitution, I noticed something. It said Lamb of God Evangelical Lutheran Church. And I want to go through that part of it and how we as a church need to be the evangelists to a world that is dark. And with all the events that have been going on, especially with what happened in France on Friday night,
There's a lot of people out there that are hurting. There's a lot of people that need to hear the news, and that is our job as a church to go out to them and be that good news to them. The third point that I want to go is also found in the bulletin. The church is now leaving the building. And where this becomes the challenge for us, where we love to come into church on Sunday, we are here for an hour, hour and 15 minutes. We have our Bible studies, maybe an hour to 2 hours, and then personal devotion. And we can be so on fire, we can be so ready to go. But then as soon as we leave the building, we go back to what the world looks at us, where we don't want to make a scene, where we don't want to share our faith with other people. And that's where that's going to be the challenge for us today, is that we go out there and we actually make a difference for those around us. So, how does Jesus turn the disillusioned into passionate builders? Well, for the first thing is he sends out 72. Now, what's cool about this is that they were people, the scholars believe, and through the commentaries that I was reading before doing this, they believe that around 100 to 120 people were following Jesus at this time in his ministry. And they would have been his closer friends, people that he actually knew very personally at this point. And so he sends out 72 of them. And it's not where he's like, okay, I want you guys to go out there. I want you to convert thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. The job that he had in store for them is he wanted them to go out and just give the people in Palestine an idea of who was coming to them, which would have been Jesus at that point. And it was kind of like when the king would enter a building, there would be trumpets or tambourines or musical instruments playing. That was kind of like what the 72 were doing. They were going out and making some noise before the main attraction came on, which would have been Jesus. And so Jesus sends them out, and the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road." Those 72 were Jesus' passionate builders at that time. They had laid down their normal, everyday lives and were willing to go and live a life that was anything but normal, okay? They were going into a culture that had these preconceived ideas of what the Savior was going to be like. Many of them thought he was going to be a king that was going to come in and destroy the Romans. So the whole idea is that this, the Savior that was coming to them was going to be a great general, and he was going to be out for blood because the people had been persecuted, they had been trampled on, they had been under the rule of the thumb of the Romans for a very long time. So many of them thought, oh, okay, this Jesus is going to be that guy who's going to come in and destroy them. Some thought he was just going to be a prophet who was going to do miraculous works. And through miracles and through the following that he would get because of that, that he was going to take over the province through those. So there was those ideas. And then there are the ideas of the Pharisees and the Sadducees who were just like, okay, he's going to be a great guy, but we don't need to follow him. He's not really the true Son of God. He's not true man. There's nothing that he can do for us. We're just going to let it be. So there were all these different ideas of what Jesus was actually going to be doing. And that's where Jesus needed the 72 to go out and tenderize the population before he got there. Because he did not want to come into a city and be like having people come up to him with swords and shields and battle armor. Because that was not his calling. That was not what he wanted to do. And he called them out of their comfort zones, okay? He was making sure that they went into a place where they were comfortable with, knowing the culture, knowing the dialect, all that stuff. But it was also out of their comfort zone because they were used to being by him and learning from him, okay? They were now going into the process of words. He was going out. He wanted them to go out and make sure that they were preaching what they were taught. And so he says, "Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road." And so he gave them warning, but he also gave them instruction on what to do. And that's where we, as a church, as passionate builders, need to understand. This right here is our manual, the Bible, okay? We cannot go out into the world without knowing what this says about what we need to be doing. If I were to come up and preach a sermon and not go through this at all, not be good at all, because that's not what we're about. We are about the Word. We stay in the Word. We do what the Word tells us to do. In verse 5, when you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. With the next few verses, they're very key. When you enter a town and are welcome, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into the streets and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. There are a lot of people out there who are so disillusioned that you can talk to them for weeks, months, years, and they will not listen. And Jesus understood that. His whole goal with us is understanding that you're not supposed to go out and keep banging your head against a brick wall, okay? That's not going to do you any good. You, for one thing, you as the evangelist are going to start getting frustrated. You're going to start getting upset with that person that you're trying to bring the light into. Sometimes you got to take a step back and just let it go for a while. And that's where a passionate builder can become disillusioned. Now, we've talked about before how Christians can be disillusioned. The one thing that we can become disillusioned in is we don't want to keep fighting the fight. We want to give up because it's easier. And that's where Jesus is saying, if you come up against something that you cannot handle by yourself, let it go. And that's hard for us, especially for the perfectionist out there, or for someone who's competitive like myself, okay? If we have something put before us and we know we have to get it done, we get it done, no matter what the cost. And sometimes we got to take a step back and be like, all right, I've done my thing. I've talked to them. I prayed with them. They haven't started listening. Maybe I should just back off for a while. And that's what Jesus wanted the disciples to know. That's what shows you to be a good evangelist. When you know when to back off, restore yourself, get back to that patience that God has called you to, and making sure that you don't lose the focus that he wants you to have. Now, how can you get someone passionate? It's not overnight, okay? For those who are Packer fans in here, maybe that was the only time that I ever became a passionate fan overnight was when they would play against the Vikings, the Bears, the Lions, and my dad would be yelling at the TV. I'd be like, yeah, Packers! I became passionate really quick. And that's carried on over into my years now where I know exactly when the Packers are playing. I know who's on their roster. I know the salaries and the coaches and all this other stuff because I'm very passionate about the Packers. Now, some of us are passionate about politics, so you have a lot of times Republicans versus Democrats, and there's a passion there for the group that they are in, which can cause butting of heads. You also have fast food versus healthy food. I love fast food. I know it's bad for me, and that's my passion, though, when to go out to McDonald's and get a McChicken, and now they got breakfast all day. It's even better because you get the Egg McMuffin for a dollar. And so there's a lot of passion out there that we can get in our normal everyday lives that can be good for us, but at the same time can tear us apart from people. Because there are a lot of people who are Bears, Lions, and Vikings fans. There are a lot of people who say, don't eat fast food. You should only eat healthy food. And there are a lot of Democrats versus Republicans, especially even in my own friend group at college. There's differences among that. Now, joining Bible studies, going to church on Sunday, special services, we're having the Lenten season, Advent season come up. And so those are ways that we can stay passionate as Christians, okay? Where if I were to come to church once, twice a year, not really pay attention, I'm not going to stay passionate. I'm going to start losing my footing. I'm going to start losing my way. And that's where we need to keep pushing on. When in verse 16, he who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me, but he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. It's so cool to see that there is people who are going to listen to us as passionate builders. And we need to remember that sometimes it's the small things that are going to get us through. Like a lot of us love hitting the home run. A lot of us want it to be, talk to this person for 5 minutes, they're Christian right after that, they go to church forever and ever, they go up into heaven. But that's not how it always happens. And sometimes we get disappointed, we get brought down because it doesn't happen within a short amount of time. But Jesus is saying, people are going to listen to you, okay? You got to be ready for that. You got to understand. But it's not going to be right away all the time. So what does that mean for us as a church? Okay, Lamb of God Evangelical Lutheran Church. In one of my classes that I'm taking this year, it's called the Great Commission Evangelism, and it's about Matthew 28, and we're going through how Jesus commissioned his disciples to go out into all nations. Well, one of the things that we talked about was a study that was shows that Lutherans are the lowest percentile when it comes to evangelism, okay? And my prof said this really funny. I was offended at first for a little bit, but he's like, have you guys ever heard of LLS? And all of us are like, no, what's that mean? Lazy Lutheran syndrome. And we're all sitting there, and we're all like gritting our teeth, and we're like, oh, that's not funny. And he's like, now let me explain to you what that means. And then he shows us the dynamics, the demographics, and we're all sitting there, and we're kind of shocked. We're like, whoa, that hits it on the head for a lot of us. And after hearing that, I was just like, wow, how am I, as a Lutheran, trying to buck that trend? How am I trying to be a better evangelist? And I realized that was a challenge that he was trying to set before us as young people. He's like, this is where we are right now, but where do we need to be within the next 5 to the next 10 to the next 15 years of your ministry, wherever you may be? And I realized, I'm like, wow, I don't want to be known as the lazy Lutheran. I want to be the one that's out there making a change. And that's where we as a church need to be at. We need to have that fire to where we're being like, okay, every single day, I'm going to be living my life for Jesus. And now, I can live it to the fullest. I can be the best example out there. But today, there are more people who don't know about Jesus than do in America. Okay? Numbers have been declining rapidly. Churches are closing. People are not hearing the good news as they once did. And we got to understand that it's our job to be the one to go out there and talk to these people. Because of the internet, because of movies, because of all this technology that we now have, I know in my personal life, I'm just like, okay, someone's going to post on Facebook a good Christian article, hundreds of people are going to read it, and they're going to become Christians, and I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to talk to anybody. I can just throw it up on Facebook, and we'll be good to go. And that's not how that works anymore, okay? People will read, and yes, they will maybe be have their curiosity built up when they read a message like that, but that doesn't make them come to know Jesus in a personal way. They just read an article. And that's where it's our jobs to go out there and follow up. That was Jesus' ministry template right there. Is he trained his disciples, he trained the 72 to be a follow-up to when he would go up and back into heaven. And that is still our job today. We're still the follow-up to what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. Okay? So with that message being sent out, when someone hears it, we can't just be like, oh, good. My dad heard the message. Great. I don't have to do anything now. He heard it. He'll be good. The Holy Spirit will be working. No. I should be going up to him being like, Dad, what did you hear today? What did you learn from it? Do you have any questions? And once we start a dialogue with people around us who maybe have never heard the message before, that's when we can start making a difference and start making a dent in a world of darkness. The reason I had this skit planned out this way is because there are two things that really distract a Christian from going out and becoming that light to the world. Number one is fear. All right, fear of rejection, fear of I don't know my thing, fear of I'm not a pastor or a lay minister or an elder or whatever you want to say. I don't know if I have the power or the authority to do so. And then we have all these doubts clouding our minds. When I am working at camp, the kids aren't lay ministers, pastors, youth pastors, whatever you want to say. But they still teach me about Jesus in ways that I have never even thought about before. And that's where we as Christians can't be afraid of what's out there. We know what's out there. We've seen what's out there with all the media coverage of what's going on. But Jesus is saying, you need to go out there. I'm sending you out. He's calling Lamb of God to go out into the world. He doesn't want us just staying in here being like, oh, this is a great Sunday. Pastor Bruce isn't here, so I get to doze off and not listen to the sermon and all this other good stuff. And it's like, that's not what he wants us to do. He wants us to learn what we're gaining at church and go out and make a difference in the world. The second distraction that happens a lot is technology. At a college campus, I see this all the time. People will be there, and I'll be walking the hallway, and there will be a person walking toward me, and they'll be looking right at me, and then they'll go like this. Okay, and they'll fake text. I can tell when they're not texting someone, or they get the phantom text, because they're like, I can't look you in the eye. It's scary to do that, okay? It's not cool to do that. I shouldn't do that. And it's distracting because the phone is always right here or on your hip, or sometimes you have the headphones in or whatever. There are distractions all over the place that will pull us away from going out into the world. Excuse me. And that's where God called the 72 and said, hey, you need to leave behind all your possessions. Okay, you need to leave behind all your material things. All right? If I were to go right now and take everyone's cell phone and everyone's laptop and everyone's TV and everyone's everything electronic, there'd probably be a lot of freaked out people in this room right now, especially the younger people, okay? But that's what Jesus was calling them to do. He was saying, hey, you need to leave this stuff behind. This is dragging you down. When you go out on a journey, I'm a light packer for the most part, but there are people who will take 5 cases along for a weekend because they're like, I need my makeup. I need my 10 sets of pants and 10 sets of shirts, and I need to bring a dress, and I need to bring a suit, and I need to bring this and this and this and this. And it's like, no, that's weighing you down. That's not making you enjoy what you really have. And that's what Jesus wants. He wants us to be joyful for what we're doing. He wants us to have that excitement to go out into the world. Excuse me. Is it a scary place? Yes. Is there distractions? Yes. Is there going to be persecution? Probably, because of what's been going on. But that doesn't mean we got to stand on the sideline. And what I try to do with the kids and the youth is I wanted them to get out on the field and go. Okay, that's the first step, is just going. And that's where we as a church need to make sure that we're doing, is that the 3-second rule is in place every single day, not just when it comes to the pastor asking for someone to come up to pray, or when you Pastor Bruce asks you guys to go out and shake someone's hand. That's not the 3 seconds, or let me phrase that. That's the 3 seconds he's talking about, but it also needs to happen during our personal lives and during our personal walk. And that's what really Jesus is trying to get across to them. He's like, you got to get out there and you got to go. Now, we're around 70 to 80 people a week on average. I was really hoping that I would look in the bulletin today and I would see last week attendance at 72. It didn't happen. It was at 66, so it was pretty close though. And this, we got to look at it this way. 72 people going into Palestine at that time with all the Jews and the Romans that were there, that's a very, 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 very small number. Would not have made a big dent in the population if those 72 were suddenly disappeared. But Jesus sent them out anyways because they could make a difference. With the 70 to 80 people that we average a week here, we can make a difference in Wisconsin. Yes, it's a small number. Yes, we're not like Elmbrook where we have thousands upon thousands and the money and the resources and all this other stuff to do. But we can still make a difference in people's lives. Now, one thing that we sometimes get caught up on is numbers. And numbers in the seats, numbers on Bible studies, numbers at youth group. We get caught up on these. Numbers shouldn't be our number one goal for going out there and making a difference. Now, as we get along as a church with all the different activities that we've been doing, we have a new stage. There's a new sign going in. We have a new soundboard. The mailboxes have been moved into the library now. We're making all these changes because we want it to become something different for people to come in. And we do hope that people start showing up regularly that haven't been here for years. We do want new members. But that shouldn't be our goal for doing it. We should be glorifying God in everything we do. But we need to be the evangelists to the world. And, excuse me, and And that's where leaving behind those material things are going to help us out a lot. Leaving behind your fear at the door is going to help out a lot. The other cool thing that Jesus did with them is he sent them out 2 by 2. And as many of you know, I was just talking about the fear. It's scary going out there by yourself trying to explain to people who Jesus is and how he works and his love for us. And that's where Jesus was smart about it. He was like, okay, if I send out Scott by himself to preach the sermon on Sunday, Scott's going to fail miserably. But if I send Scott and then Pastor Bruce with them and then Mr. Ebel to pray and Brian to pray with him before the church service, there's a support group. There's a supporting cast for Scott. So Scott has the ability and the knowledge and knowing that people have his back to go out there and preach a good sermon on Sunday. And that's what we have to expect as a congregation. We need to go out there, but also know that the church has our back. And that's where the pastor needs to be involved. That's where the elders, the directors need to be involved. We need to be a supporting cast for each other. That's when different ministries get started within the church. If Scott tries to start a singles ministry, he's the only one who's involved with it. He doesn't have anyone else backing him up. Scott's going to fizz out really quick and not be able to handle it. And that's where the church comes in and builds that person up to make sure they have that support that they need to get through it. Because evangelism is hard, and it's tiring, and it's discouraging. And if you don't have that backup system, it's not going to work out real well for you. Now, joy is going to happen no matter what if we are doing the Lord's work. Now, what was cool about the story that we see in verse 17, it says, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. It wasn't that, hey, Jesus, we got 3,000 converts, okay? Conversions, 3,000 conversions. He didn't say, hey, you know what? I traveled to Macedonia, to Cyprus, and all these other places. I saw the Great Wall of China. It was awesome. No, he didn't say any of that. They said, because the demons listened to us, that's why we were joyful. Very small thing. In those times with demon possession being more of a normal thing than we see today, the fact that they took joy in it showed that their eyes were open to the power that they had, that Jesus had given them through the Holy Spirit, and that they had power, and that's what made them joyful. It wasn't because of the numbers. And that, again, that goes back to where we need to look at the small things. Even if I were to go up to someone, let's say Noah, who's a youth, talk to him about Jesus for 5 minutes, I should take joy in that, because I now know that Noah now has that part of his brain who's thinking, okay, this guy's talking to me about Jesus. Who is this Jesus? What does Jesus do? Where can I find Jesus? What's he all about? That bug is planted. And then I can come back a few days later and be like, hey, Noah, did you ever think about this? And then Noah hopefully will say, yeah, I've been thinking about it a lot. Tell me more. And that's where follow-up is so critical. And then that's where me as a Christian can get a pick-me-up. I can get that joy flowing again, because I can see the work of the Holy Spirit being done in one of the people that I'm talking to. Now, is it going to happen overnight? No, it doesn't always happen that way. Hopefully, it happens within a week or so. But it's like, you want to make sure that you keep on looking for the small things to be joyful in, and not just the big home runs all the time. Now, the church is now leaving the building. Jesus is the head of the church, and he sent the 72 out. Jesus is the head of this church, and he sends us out every single week with those words, the church is now leaving the building. That's our commission, okay? We can't hide from it. You can maybe not read it in the bulletin every single Sunday. You might just peruse it over and be like, I don't have to look at this. Okay, we're good to go. I don't have to do that. But that's our calling. That's our commission to go out into the world. The church is now leaving the building. Lamb of God is now leaving the building. Go out and do something about it. We need to bring what we've learned from this building to those around us. We need to be excited to do the Lord's work. If I go up to someone and say, hey, Jesus, he's cool, dude, right? Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I'll talk to you later. I'm not going to do anything, okay? The guy's going to look at you and be like, cool, that was really weird. All Christians are probably like that. I should probably stay away from them, okay? You want to get excited for it, because then when you get passion, that's when people start taking notice of things. When you have an excitement about you, when you just start like getting glowy and smiley and you can't help yourself, that's when people start to notice. And when you get something, let's say a present, and it's something you've always wanted, I love watching my siblings' faces when I give them a present. And then it's like they start opening up the box and they're like, oh, it's a present. He did a really crappy job with like wrapping it, but you know what? It's a present. And then you see their eyes go like, boom, and you're like, yes, that's what I wanted to see. And that's what people see in you. When I'm talking about Jesus, I shouldn't be like, yeah, Jesus, he's awesome. You should go see him, blah, blah, blah. I should be excited. I should be talking loud. I should be exclaiming it to the world. And when we get excited, the people are going to notice. Now, we need to get outside our comfort zone. My comfort zone is my family, very much so, because I know them. We're all pretty close in age as siblings. My parents are very involved with me, so I know I can go to them with anything, and that's my comfort zone. When I am going out in a public place or going to church even, I love hanging out with my family. And that's what I do. That's a comfort zone for me. I need to start learning how to expand that comfort zone to where I am not just solely staying with my family, but going out into other people and trying to talk to other people. Public speaking is a comfort zone for me for the most part, except when I say and all that other stuff. Then it becomes a discomfort for me. But then that's something where I need to get out of it and go talk to people one-on-one. I'm not a good one-on-one talker. That's not my gift. That's not my vocation. But that's something that I need to improve on in order to become a better evangelist. Some of you are very good musically. I used to play piano. I don't anymore. I couldn't go up to the piano and start playing Bach or Beethoven anytime soon. But there are people who have a music ministry that they can use and go out and show the world how God has affected them through music. Some of you are very good prayer warriors. Some of you are very good encouragers. There's a lot of vocations out there that God uses for us to become good evangelists. And so what we need to do is we need to get out of our small bubbles and become bigger for God. We need to understand that even if I get out of my small comfort zone of family and step out here into the world, I still have a zone, and I'm protected by Jesus, okay? He is my comfort zone. He's going to be there no matter if I get hit with rocks from someone who doesn't want to hear about Jesus. He's going to be there if someone starts cussing me out because he believes Jesus is wrong and he's an atheist and all this other stuff. Jesus is going to be there. He's going to be my comfort. Now, is he going to be there maybe physically every single time? Say I get hit with something or I get sick. Not always. There are going to be sufferings that we go through because Jesus wants us to become stronger. But there are going to be times spiritually where he will be always there for you. He's never going to leave you that way. If we call upon him, he's going to be there for us. So our challenge as a church is we got to turn the disillusioned into passionate builders. We do that through the Holy Spirit. We do that through the power that God has given us. We are an evangelical Lutheran church. That means we need to get outside these walls and do something about it. We can't sit on our butts on church, on Sundays, on Bible studies, on our personal devotions, and just leave it at that. We got to get out there and do something. And my last challenge is, once you leave this building, become an evangelist for God in everything you do. With the words you say, with the actions that you take, with the people that are around you, don't be afraid. Because for one, you have Jesus by your side all the time. He is your comfort zone. But you also have a church that you can come back to and be like, hey, I'm talking to this person about Jesus. I don't know what to say. There are people here who have been hearing Pastor Bruce for years and years and years and years and who are a wealth of knowledge. Who can be like, all right, so this is what I learned 25 years ago. Let me tell you about it. Okay? And then you get to involve other people from the church. So as we go throughout this week, I want to encourage you. Remember, you need to be looking out to turn the disillusioned into passion builders. We are evangelicals. Let me phrase that. We're evangelists. We are being called to go out and into the world of darkness, just like the football game. And remember, when you leave this building, that's when it starts. It's not when you come in and then you wait until the next Sunday. It's as soon as you leave this building. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this day. I pray, Lord, as we go throughout this week and to this end of the year coming up, pray that we would be evangelists for you, that we'd be on fire for you, that we would have a longing to go out into a world of darkness. It's a scary place, Lord, but I pray that you would give us the strength, the comfort, and the wisdom to say the right things at the right times or do the right actions at the right time. As people watch us and are sometimes confused at what we're doing as Christians, I pray that we can be an example of your love. As you send out the 72, Lord, I pray that we, as soon as we leave this building, that we are sent out and start proclaiming your name to a world that is slowly dying from understanding of you. So I pray that we can be a light into the world of darkness. In your name I pray, amen.